You notice that inside your bulletin is a reminder again about our school supplies. I think there's only one Sunday left, so if you want to bring school supplies for them to be donated to North River Elementary, be sure to do that this week. I know there's some things building up here, but there's always room for more, and I know North River can use it. Again, there's this list inside your bulletin that gives you some ideas. You don't have to stick to this. I'm sure if you have some other things that you maybe would like to donate that's not on here, I'm sure they'll receive that. But this at least gives you a good starting place to have. One other announcement: you'll notice that our bulletin is a week behind here. Maybe it's 2 weeks behind, but. That's 1 week behind, but that's because we were ahead of snow Sunday, and so we just decided to use the same bulletin. So I want to give you the update on the offering. Of course, the numbers there are for 123. January 23rd is the regular offering there, $3,897, in memory of Phyllis Wampler, $450, cemetery plots, $400. The offertory for 26. February the 6th, regular offering was $1,775. Carlisle Grimm Memorial was $50. That made the total of $1,825. And we'll go ahead and print that in this coming week's bulletin. Again, that's just kind of off because we're using an old bulletin rather than making new ones and wasting more paper. Also, I just want to remind you that, there are sign-up sheets in the narthex on the bulletin board. If you would like to be a greeter on a Sunday morning, that you can do that. Just sign up there on the bulletin board and make sure that you're here before service starts to greet. If you have questions about that, you can talk to Janet Good if you have questions about how to do that or how it works. But we would love to have people sign up and be greeters. And what a great way for you to meet everyone in the church, too, if you're not familiar with them. Also, there's a sign-up sheet also for flowers. If you would like to donate flowers or to have flowers here in memory of someone. In fact, the beautiful flowers that you see here this morning are placed there by Nancy Michael, and they are in memory of Martha Byerly. So we want to mention that, and we are just thankful all those that are making those contributions to our service. Also, just look at your calendar there. Ash Wednesday's coming up, March 2nd at Mossy Creek Presbyterian Church at 7 o'clock. And also, March 20th, there will be a spring CBM meeting here with a congregational withdrawal vote from the Church of the Brethren, and that is the first vote. If you would like information, maybe you've not received information about that or the process that we're in, there are copies available on the narthex table there. When you come in, there are copies available. You can grab that and take that with you, and there is information available about the process that we are involved with, as well as the vote and all the details of that. And if you have questions, you can talk to Ron Radebush about that, board chair. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Faye? Or Janet, sorry. Jan, thank you for sharing that. We're certainly going to continue to pray for you and your family, and thank you for sharing that. Did I see another hand? Lee, was that you?
Yeah. I have an addition to the list down on the board.
Okay.
Out there, there's also an update list of addresses, any new members, any new people coming to church, and also add your birthday and your family's birthday, because I'm going to start putting them in the bulletin again about the birthdays each month. So in that way, we won't embarrass you every day.
Yeah.
The
directory. Yeah, if you're outside and didn't hear what Lee is saying, we are gathering up information for the new directory as well as the prayer list that she has, that Lee has, and the birthday as well. If your information is not there, or you're not in the directory, or you're not on that birthday list, and you would like to have your information included in that, just see that sign-up sheet there on the bulletin board and make sure that all that. Also, if your information has changed, like maybe you've moved, your address is different than what is listed in the directory, just again, make sure that you see that sign-up sheet and make sure that that information is up to date. It really helps, especially when someone's trying to send a card to you and it you know, gets to the right place. So thank you, Lee, for all that work, and Kim as well, as she works on the directory. Any other announcements? Janet? Thank you, Janet. Those daily breads, again, are available there on the Narthex table. You know, there's a lot of announcement, aren't there? Well, when we missed a couple Sundays, that makes a lot to announce. So it's good to get up to date on all that the church is doing and things that are going on. Anything else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, seeking to praise you, to worship you, give you thanks for your Son, Jesus. We just pray that you bless us in this time of worship together. Lord, I thank you for each person here. Lord, I just pray a blessing upon our service. Speak to our hearts, I pray. Open our minds and our hearts to hear your word. And Lord, we just praise you and we bless your names. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Let us stand together for this morning's call to worship. This is coming from portions of Revelation chapter 21. It says, Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Let's turn in our hymnal to page 542, When We All Get to Heaven. Page 542.
When we are to something. We're going to play. Hey, we're singing 543. Janet, the Spirit's moving. Janet, you've led us right there. No, you're fine.
Thank y'all all for your cooperation. We tried.
Kenny did an excellent job at adapting when we all get to heaven.
I'm sorry. Now this one won't be so tough.
I love you. Love you, Janet.
Love you much. You're okay.
Mistakes anymore, will we? Or worry about hymn numbers? We'll just know the hymn. We'll just sing out. We won't have to worry about those things. Janet, you did a wonderful job. We appreciate you being here, and we're glad for it. So, when we all get to heaven, what a wonderful thought that is. I'm ready for heaven. How about you? That's what we're working towards, aren't we? That's where we're headed. Christians have a destination in mind when we leave this world, don't we? We're going to heaven, and the Lord has prepared for us a place. We need to think about those things more, don't we? Maybe as Christians, we don't think about it enough. Just the wonder, the excitement, the amazing things that are waiting for us there in heaven because we have the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you've prepared for us a place. Lord, I pray that our hearts will dwell more in our life upon the things of heaven, Lord, that are there waiting for us, even as we think about heaven here today and during our service. Lord, I just pray you direct our thoughts and our minds and our hearts to the wonderful things that you have prepared for us, awaiting us there in heaven. Lord, we look forward to it, and we're excited for the day. None of us know when that day is, but Lord, each of us have a date on the calendar, Lord, that you will call us home, or a date on the calendar that, Lord, you will return, and that we will all go forth into that heavenly kingdom with you, those who are saved. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take just a couple minutes here to gather up any prayer requests or prayer concerns that you would like to share or any praises that you would like to share. A couple I would just have you to put on your list. If you would you be in prayer for my grandmother, Pauline Knott? About 2 weeks ago, both Vance and Pauline, they fell there at their home, And both have been struggling a little bit since then, especially Pauline. She has hurt her back, and she's going to go for a procedure this week. Is that right? On Tuesday this week, they're going to, one of the vertebrae in her back has a crack, so they're going to cement it. And so that procedure's on Tuesday. If you would, just keep not only Pauline for that procedure on Tuesday, but Vance as well. Vance turned 91 here just about a week ago, and so we praise the Lord for that. But getting old isn't easy, as he would say it. I think he's actually said that. It's not an easy thing, getting old. And so if you would, just be in prayer for them for that and for that procedure coming up.
We're just praising the Lord. Daddy fell down the steps backwards.
That's right. Vance, actually, Pauline, it was crazy. Both falls happened on the same day. Vance fell earlier in the morning. He fell backwards down the steps, but praise God, he just had some bruises and things like that. It didn't break any bones. And then after lunch, Pauline had a fall. She tripped there, just kind of got caught up on her feet and fell down. And so just keep them in your prayers, if you would, for their recovery from that. Also, we want to continue to pray for Nancy Bailey. She had a fall, too, back here when it was snowing. She got to, I guess the snow was a little deeper than she thought and ended up falling. But praise the Lord, she's here today, and we're just praying for her recovery as well from a fall. Also, Susie Johnson, if you would keep her in your prayers, she kind of had a stumble as well and stubbed her foot. She's not sure if she broke her foot. She had a broken foot about a year ago or so, and so I think they have an appointment on Monday at UVA to look at her foot. So would you please be in prayer for Susie Johnson also. And also their grandson Isaac, they said that Isaac was sick this morning, and they were going to be taking Isaac to the doctor to be looked at. Okay, also, if you would continue to keep on your prayer list, Jean Armstrong. She continues to have treatments for cancer and receive those treatments. At times, she has said that the treatments are making her somewhat sick. So if you would, just lift her up in your prayers also. Also, be in prayer for Sherry Woods for the loss of her stepmother. And Kenny shared that the service will be this week, so on Saturday. So if you would, just keep that family in your prayers too, and share as well. Are there any other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share?
Kathy Puffenbarger. Yeah. She's not doing well. Kelly's been staying with her.
Okay.
She can't go see a doctor until March.
If you
When
I was sick, we were going to have Kathy fill in here during the service, and she ended up getting sick as well. We praise God that Gary Scholl was able to fill in kind of short notice. But if you would, please keep Kathy Puffenbarger in your prayers. She's still dealing with sickness, and just lift her up in prayer. I think also we need to pray for this Russia-Ukraine situation. I know that's quite tense. We just pray for a de-escalation of that buildup of military presence there on Ukrainian border. I know many of you probably have been watching that, keeping an eye on that. So we just pray for that. Well, you know, Franklin Graham took a little heat. I don't know why, but he asked prayer for Putin, the Russian president, and just said, pray that Putin's heart would be moved, that God would work in his heart to de-escalate that situation. And so I think, too, that's a good prayer. We pray not only for the Ukrainian president, but also Russian President Putin. Just pray that God will bring peace to that area. Anyone else? Oh.
Speaking of that,
yes. Okay.
So it's really scary over there right now. But Kinley was able to come in for 4 days, and that's all that they've seen her since she took off about over a year and a half ago. His first and family's got to see her and visit her face to face. Because of COVID, no one could see her in boot camp. No one could see her being shipped off to Germany. And so
Mm-hmm.
And Randy and the whole family, the Seaman, little petite.
Yeah.
And she drives the big rigs. She's a driver. She drives the, you know, has the bombs. She has, you know, she's got a really serious job.
Sounds like it.
But it's serious over there.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord, she was able to come back and to visit with Randy and family there. So, praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Well, we pray that that situation just calms itself. I know that's our prayers for McKinley, for all, really everyone's safety. I know it, you know, they were kind of starting to give some statistics or, you know, thoughts about how bloody that might be, and we definitely don't want to see that happen. So just pray for calm and peace in the area. McKinley is her name. What's her? McKinley Leap, if you would. Just keep her in your prayers. And her unit. Air Force. Okay. Other prayer requests or praises? Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious and loving Father, we come to you here this morning, Lord, with our prayer requests, Lord. We think of regions of this world where there are war, Lord, where there is war threatening to break out. And Lord, we know there's places in this world where war has already taken place. Lord, we just pray for peace upon this world. Lord, we pray that you would bring your peace upon this world, even as you promised that your peace would come upon this world. We just pray for peace among nations, that people will be able to get along, and Lord, that we might seek the betterment of our neighbor rather than the destruction. Lord, we pray for those names listed upon our prayer list here this morning. Lord, those that are dealing with falls, those that are dealing with sicknesses, Lord, those that are still working through grief, Lord. We just pray that in each one of these situations, and Lord, you know the details of each one. Lord, you know the ins and outs of our life. And Father, I just pray that you will intervene, and Lord, that your will might be made known. And Lord, that we as your believers might continue to trust in you, put our faith in you, even, Lord, when we don't understand exactly why things are happening the way they're happening. Lord, that we trust in you with all our heart, and as your scriptures say, that we lean not on our own understanding. Lord, be with us as we offer these prayers to you, and Lord, might you bless our requests only as you can. For our offertory this morning, Lord, we thank you that you continue to bless the church at Moscow. Lord, we continue to seek your direction as a church, even as we enter into a process of separation, Lord, from the church of the brethren. Lord, we pray that it be thy will that ultimately happens, not our will, but thine will, Lord, that you direct us, and Lord, that we might follow your leading, like a sheep following its shepherd. Lord, that's what we desire for our church. Lord, your church here at Moscow. Bless us, I pray, as we seek to do your good work. Lord, as we seek to tell others about your son Jesus. Lord, and the good news that we have received through him. Lord, we praise you. We praise your son. Bless all these things that we pray together. And we pray them together in the name of your son Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers. All right, I have some good news. Children's church can be dismissed. I know they're looking forward to that. We're glad that our children's church is up going again, our youth Sunday school. So lots of smiling faces. They had frowns when I kept telling them that it was canceled, but they're excited to go down, and so we're glad for that. We thank all the teachers who are working at that so diligently. Okay, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Philippians. Turn to Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 3. This is going to be part 2 of a sermon that I started a couple weeks ago now. It was titled, A City Called Heaven, and this will be part 2 of that. I think there's going to be 3 parts in total, one more part to go with this, but I started this and I want to continue to see it through, and we're talking about heaven and the good things that heaven offers for us. So turn there to Philippians chapter 3, looking at verses 20 and 21 here, which Paul says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The power that he has to transform our lowly bodies there into that heavenly realm. You know, this, like I said, this sermon is kind of the second part I started a couple weeks ago. I thought it might be good to kind of refresh ourselves on what we talked about so far when we were talking about heaven. I started to say, or did say the last time we were together, that the Bible kind of mentions 3 different heavens for us. 3 different ways heaven, or the word heaven, is used in the Bible. First, heaven is just that lower atmosphere where the birds fly, right? And that's the first heaven. The second heaven is a little farther up. That's the outer space, or the place where the stars and the planets and all these sorts of things are gathered together. But then the heaven that we're talking about, the biblical heaven, is where the Bible tells us that God lives. That is the dwelling place of God. We find the temple of God there in heaven. Revelation, even as we shared a little bit about that in our call to worship, talks about there that heaven in which God has created, even for us, a dwelling place there in that heaven for us. And so you can read about all these things that are there in that third heaven. And that's the heaven that when we leave this world that we go to as believers. In the third heaven, there's the presence of God, the throne of God. The angels of God are there in the third heaven. And there also seated beside the Father is Jesus at the right hand, the Bible tells us, there. And it tells us that both day and night that the angels are worshiping and rejoicing there for God. Bible describes heaven as a city that has a great crystal clear stream flowing from the center of it, it says. And they're watering gardens, and the Bible describes on each side of the stream that there's two trees. And there it describes the city as roads that are paved with gold. And the gates of the city are of brilliant stone. Now, from the first sermon as well, we started to talk about some important questions. First of all, was the question, where is heaven? And of course, it's either one of two things. It's either so far past the second heaven, that is the outer space, that we could never see it, or it's the idea that it's just not visible to our human eyes. I kind of tend to lean towards the second theological position, that it's just not visible to our eyes. You know, there's lots of things that aren't visible to our eyes. You know, right now going by your head is all kinds of information, and you just can't see it. There's telephone conversations that are flying by us, they're whizzing by. There is radio frequencies that are coming by you. There's television broadcasts. You can't pick up any of those things, can you? It's not interfering with anything that we're doing because we just can't see it. But it is happening. And I think that's much the way with heaven, that I think it's pretty close. I don't believe it's that far away. I don't think God's dwelling place is that far away. It's just that we don't have eyes to necessarily see it at this point. And so the second question was, what is heaven like? And of course we said heaven is wonderful. Heaven is a place of no mores. No mores. There's no more pain. There's no more tears. There's no more sickness. No more disease. No more COVID-19 that we have to worry about. No more stiff back waking up in the morning. That'd be nice, won't it? Or aching knees. No more temptation. No more Satan. No more worrying about bills or worrying about cleaning the house. Worrying about cooking dinner. No more getting old. It's just wonderful, isn't it? The no mores that heaven is filled with. I look forward to many of those things. We like getting rid of some of these painful and wicked things that we have to deal with here on earth. The hymnist wrote, "There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears shall dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be." You know that hymn? It's beautiful, isn't it? What a day that will be. Okay, I want to talk about two other questions I have here this morning for us to look at. First of all, question three, who is in heaven right now? And that's not a very difficult question to answer. The answer is not everyone. Not everyone is in heaven. That's what the Bible says. Now, the easy answer for many of us to believe is that everybody just goes to heaven. And I think that society at whole likes to believe that. Well, when you die, you just go to heaven. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the believer goes to heaven. The one who is trusted for salvation in Jesus, he is guaranteed heaven. You know, one of the hardest things that I have to do in my job is when I stand beside the graveside of someone that I know didn't have faith. They didn't have Christ. They're at least by every standards of kind of me looking at their life, there was no relationship between Jesus and that person. And then my job is to somehow comfort the family. And I can comfort the family through the scriptures, the message of salvation for the believers. But friends, when it comes to the non-believers, there's no comfort. There's just no comfort there. That is the most difficult thing I have to do. And you cannot lie. Thou shalt not lie, right? I cannot paint some picture that isn't true just to comfort a family. It's a very difficult thing. I take us back to the scriptures. I preach the scriptures that promise salvation for all who trust in Him. And that's where I leave it. But I can't preach something that isn't true. The Bible doesn't mix words. The Bible is very clear. Those who died in faith go to heaven and await rewards, and those who died unbelieving go to hell and await judgment. Now, that's not God's fault. You can't, sometimes it's easy for us to sit there and say, well, now God is at fault. Why would a loving God send anyone to hell? Listen, God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He sent His own Son to come and die upon a cross so that no person would have to enter into that place. God doesn't punish us. He gives us a choice, doesn't He? And so it's not our fault, it's not God's fault. It can only be our own fault that a person doesn't enter into heaven. I want you to look back in your Bible. Look back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. This is the words of Jesus. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. Enter where? Enter heaven. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it. So what Jesus is saying there is that the gate to heaven is a small gate. It's a narrow road. It's a small gate. It's a more difficult way of life. It's narrow because there is only one way, there's only one path that leads to heaven, and that is through Christ Jesus. Without Christ, there is no way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way but me. Not everyone is going to heaven, friends. There are two roads, notice. There's one road that leads to destruction, and there's one road that leads to paradise, to heaven. And the road to heaven, Jesus describes as narrow and straight. Somebody says, you know what, you Christians are narrow-minded. That's okay. We're supposed to be narrow-minded, aren't we? Lord's narrow-minded. He said there's but one way. There's one truth. There's one life. There's one way in which we enter unto the Father. No one, Jesus said, comes to the Father but by me. So what about all those who are serving other gods? What about all those in history that have served the Egyptian gods? I think that was a big thing at one point, wasn't it? How about the Mayan gods? Go south of us. How about the pagan gods of Rome? What about the many gods of India that people worship today? Or the God of Islam? Listen, Jesus said there is but one way to the Father. And He didn't say it's through the Egyptian gods. He didn't say it's through the worship of the India gods. He didn't say it was through the Mayan gods or the pagan gods of Rome. He said it was through His Son Jesus. And that is it. God doesn't punish these other religions. God isn't punishing anyone. He gives everyone a free choice to go to heaven. So to answer the question, who is in heaven? Listen, everyone who has received the Son and followed Him is in heaven. And who is in hell? Everyone that rejects the Son. Jesus said, the one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. the word that I have spoken will judge him on the last days. Matthew 10:33, but whoever denies me before men, Jesus said, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Luke 10:16, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Listen, Jesus was pretty plain about it, wasn't he? We Christians don't have to be confused about this. Jesus made it quite simple. The believer enters into heaven and life. The one who receives Christ enters into heaven. And he who denies the Son denies also the Father. Now, who else is in heaven beside the New Testament Christian believer? Well, listen, we're also joined in heaven by the Old Testament saints. That's right. The Bible tells us that the key to eternal life is faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace, the Bible says, you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we're saved by grace through faith. And so how that applies to the Old Testament saints, you think we're saved by faith. Well, what faith were they saved by? Well, that was the faith that God was going to send a Savior. And we're saved by faith that God sent a Savior. We know who that Savior is. It's Jesus. And the Old Testament saint was saved by the belief of faith that God was going to send a Savior, and that he would eventually come. Turn forward to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you taking my word for it. You need to see it in the Bible. This isn't Darren's truth. This is what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 11. This is kind of the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders, that is those saints of the Old Testament, obtained a good testimony. That was before God. They were pleasing before God. Now going down to verse 13, notice it says, these all died in faith. And of course, it gives us a list of all those, starting with Abraham and going forward, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, on and on it goes. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. We are assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, is what it says there. And notice, go on down to verse 39, same chapter. And all these, it's kind of the same saying, all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. They did not receive the promise, that is, they died before Jesus came. But having provided something better for us, that was the coming of Jesus, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That is, they are equal with the believer today. That they are made perfect through Christ, even as we are made perfect through Christ. So this saving faith, they were saved by faith that Jesus was going to come. We are saved by faith that Jesus has come. Won't that be wonderful? We'll see all these Old Testament saints there in heaven with us. Okay, I think that answers pretty plainly who's in heaven. Question four, and we'll kind of close with this. Will we know each other in heaven? You ever thought much about that? Will we know each other in heaven? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a great scripture for you to underline. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. And Paul says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, that is in heaven, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now what the scripture is telling us there is that currently we kind of see things as if we're looking through a tinted glass. And I was trying to think, if you've been somewhere, maybe a car that has tinted glass. Some cars have pretty tinted glass. But even these windows are kind of somewhat tinted. And if you look through them, you don't really get a very good view of what's outside, do you? It's kind of a diminished type of view. You can kind of see what's going on, but it's not a very clear view. And that's the way it is here on earth. We see things, but we don't necessarily see things clearly. But when it comes to when we get to heaven, there we will see things with clarity. We will see each other with clarity. We will see the world around us with clarity. We will see even ourselves with clarity. In heaven, we will see everything for what it truly is, and even who we are. We will see things more clearly, and others will see us more clearly. As you think about that, I try to think about the person who would probably know me the best, and that would, for me, be my wife. She probably knows me better than anyone else, and I know her probably more than anyone else might know her. But even that, the Bible says, is not really a clear picture. You know, there's things which a person, you can't, I guess, express yourself or share yourself completely. There's only things that God knows, I would say, about any person. There's still some distance between any relationship. But the relationship between us and God, now that He knows everything. He knows the intentions of our heart. He knows the true feelings of our heart. And I think that's what it's saying about when we get to heaven. We will know each other clearly in that way. Even as God knows us, so we will know everyone in heaven. Listen, there's no strangers in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? When you get to heaven, you will know everyone that is there. And you will know them better than you know the person closest to you now. More than I will know Deborah. I'll know everyone in heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? Lord says we see everyone here. It's like looking through a dark mirror or a dim window. But when we get to heaven, it's clear. You'll see everyone. You'll know everyone. You'll know their name. And you'll know them even more so than you know yourself at this point. No strangers in heaven. One example of that was when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples were there and Jesus was transfigured. There was also Moses and Elijah with Jesus, and the disciples pointed out, hey, there is Elijah and Moses. Now listen, they'd never seen a portrait of Moses or Elijah. There was no cameras. There was nothing that they could do to identify them, but yet somehow the disciples knew immediately that Moses and Elijah was there. They knew who they were without even being told. And that's the way it's going to be in heaven. You'll know everyone, and everyone will know you. Isn't that glorious? I look forward to it. And there will be a closeness with each other closer than any relationship that we have here on earth currently. No strangers. We will know even as we are known. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for heaven which awaits us. Lord, we thank You for the promise that we can have right now, Lord, if we've trusted in Your Son Jesus, if we've, Lord, has received Him as our Lord and Savior, even as Your Scriptures tell us, Lord, that we are promised, that we are guaranteed a heaven there that is prepared for us. I pray for every person here, Lord, that they've made a commitment to You in their life, that they've received you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, if any here has not, Lord, I pray they even pray with me right now. Lord, I receive your Son Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Lord, I turn from my sin. Lord, I turn from my wickedness. Lord, I repent of those things that I have done. And Lord, I receive the healing and the salvation that comes through the gift of your Son Jesus. And Lord, now do I seek to follow him and place him first in my life, Lord, and serve him with all my being. Lord, as much as a person has prayed that, they are received through the guarantee of the promises of your word to that heavenly realm when, Lord, their time is right. Lord, we thank you for the good things that await us in heaven. Lord, the perfectness that will be there in that place, the relationship that we will have not only with one another, but with you, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we so look forward to that, and we long for the day. Bless us, I pray, even as we dwell upon these thoughts. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things together. Amen.